Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome once again to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community here in Sacramento. By the way, if you ever want to learn something more about Epiclesis or ancient future faith, this thing that we talk about week in and week out, I'd love you to zip over to the website. It's epiclesis.org. That's spelled E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org. We're taking these Saturday broadcasts on KFIA to talk about ancient future Christian faith. And we try to bring you a great variety of guests each week, pastors and lay leaders, worship leaders, all kinds of musical guests. And today, a very special guest is right here in the studio with me. She's a very dear friend, and she's also a singer, wonderful musician, and it is her capacity as a singer in weekly Shabbat services that I've asked her to join us in our Ancient Future Faith Dialogue. Lynn Bennett, hi and welcome.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's really good to have you here. Lynn's coming all the way from Knoxville, Tennessee, and this is your first time to California, isn't it?
It is.
What do you think so far?
So far, you have rain. Yay.
Well, I'm sorry for you, but we're glad to have the rain.
I'm thrilled for you.
Lynn, we go way back. We knew each other in high school, and you still are my friend, which I think is... which is a wonderful thing. And we also served together in a church some years ago. In fact, you're still in the church where I was music minister for 13 years, Smithwood Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yes, and we miss you dearly.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. We've been in California, believe it or not, now almost as long as I was the music minister at Smithwood Baptist Church. Hard to believe.
It is hard to believe, but we're so glad to hear good things about Epiclesis.
Thanks. Lynn has come to town to visit and just catch up with us and have old home week, but also to sing in a series of services that are important to us at Epiclesis this weekend. In fact, when you hear this episode of Ancient Future Faith, they will have already occurred, but Lynn is singing with us on the first Sunday night of Advent, and then a special service of Advent lessons and carols. We put you to work right away when you got off the airplane yesterday, Lynn, and went almost right to a rehearsal. So sorry about that, but it was nice to have you be here for a rehearsal.
We had a good time, and I appreciate everybody was very patient with this sleepy girl.
Lynn, one of the things that intrigues me about your musical life is that you sing every week at a Reform synagogue in Knoxville, Tennessee for their Shabbat service. How long have you been doing that?
More than 10 years.
I was thinking it's been.
Right about that.
You are an evangelical. Did you grow up in the Baptist church, by the way?
I did.
Okay. So longtime evangelical and Baptist, and here you are every Sabbath, every Friday night in the Shabbat service. Was that difficult to get used to at first?
Yes, it was.
A whole different, a whole different language and liturgy. And tell us about those first initial times and what that felt like.
Well, language-wise, I was so glad. They were very kind and very patient. Hebrew is easy to learn as far as reading the transliteration. That's just a fancy word for saying writing it out in English.
Right.
So we know how to speak it. I would often say, Rabbi, I just know I'm saying bad words here. I'm not saying this correctly. She says, oh, no. And the rabbi was very good to help me learn proper pronunciations and things. To get used to liturgy, of course, that was different. I'm a Baptist girl. You know, we pray and we go with it. And so to have everything written out was a new thing for me. And then there are so many more songs in a Jewish service than we use in a Baptist service.
So in a typical Shabbat service, how many times are you going to sing? And tell us about the scope of give us sort of a bird's eye view of the whole scheme of the service. And how many times are you going to sing? And are the elements from week to week going to be a similar thing?
Yes, they are. Normally, maybe 14 songs.
Okay.
We might open with something peppy and fun to get everybody's attention and focus. Of course, you see scripturally, people blessed people, right?
Mm-hmm.
You blessed your children. You blessed whatever was going on. So most of what we do our blessings.
Oh, throughout the service.
Throughout the service. Mm-hmm. So we start by blessing the candles. So everything says, Baruch atah Adonai, blessed are you. We bless candles, we bless wine, we bless the reading of the Torah scriptures. We bless the time of the year, possibly, but most of them are blessings. Just as in some Christian churches, you have an Old Testament and New Testament reading. Mm-hmm. We have very specific readings, very specific things, very specific prayers that we do on a weekly, regular basis.
And are those generally the same week
to week? And those week to week are the same, but we may use a different tune. We may be using the same liturgy in a different setting,
but not always. And how does the service end? I'm curious about this particular question. How does the Shabbat service end each week? And is it the same thing week after week, the way it ends?
The way it actually ends, after we've had most of those blessings and we've read Torah, gotten those Torah scrolls out, we pray for those that are in need of healing. We pray for those that take care of those that need of healing. We remember those that have gone before us. We call it standing on the shoulders of those that have gone before us.
And that happens week after week.
It happens week after week. Wow. So we say a remembrance. If you've ever heard the word Kaddish, we say Kaddish in remembrance of those that have gone before us. Mm-hmm. The people that are there remembering a loved one, they say Kaddish for that loved one during the week that they had passed. And we say Kaddish together in solidarity with them to encourage them. But it doesn't say so much about the person that's gone before, but it extols the virtues and glorifies God. Mm. And in a very real sense, I suppose, it even points out that we can't do it ourselves, that God is the only place that we can go for that comfort.
Mm. And is that how the Shabbat ends each week?
After that, of course, there are the obligatory announcements or things like that. And
Does every religious service in the world have announcements?
As far as I know. Then the last thing that there would be what we would almost call a priestly blessing.
Mm.
So the rabbi pronounces that at the very end of the service. And you know what I'm talking about out of, I believe, is it Numbers?
The Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. That one?
That is the most common one that he will use at the end of a service to bless us before we leave.
You said something a minute ago. Two or three things caught my ear about the Hebrew service of Shabbat that I think would be a great blessing to us evangelicals to recover in our services of worship, because we have to remember that the Christian worship service begins in the context of Jewish worship. And you were talking about blessing one another, and our mutual friend Connie Bull has done a lot of work in the area of blessing and how we need to recover that as evangelicals. Blessing, for example, our children, and also, frankly, having our children bless us, and that happening in the context of worship. And then also scripture reading. As I look across the landscape of evangelical worship, I don't see much of either in evangelical worship. There's not a lot of emphasis on blessing, either blessing God or asking him to bless us or blessing one another. And then scripture reading. Oftentimes in evangelical services, there's very little scripture reading. What is read, say, by the pastor, is only maybe a short snippet of scripture. And then the rest of everything is the pastor's own exposition of that particular scripture. So what I hear you saying is that the Shabbat service is rich in blessing and also in scripture reading. Is that the case?
Right. And just to clarify, Shabbat, Sabbath, same word, means rest, correct?
Rest, uh-huh.
And yes, bless, bless, bless. That's what we do. Of course, I'm from the South. We bless your heart. To bless is important. I think that would be a wonderful thing for us to recover.
Okay, you're doing Shabbat on Friday night, and then you are at your usual place of worship in the Baptist church on Sunday morning. And I'm sure you also travel around and see other expressions of worship. As you were just thinking about the Shabbat service, I know you must do this, and you are seeing connections to Jesus, and I want to talk about that a little bit more in a minute. What are some other things about the Shabbat service or Jewish worship, synagogue worship, that you think might be worth recovering or looking at for evangelicals?
Like you said, the blessing is important. Mm-hmm. I know when I first started doing this, I would want to get up on a Sunday morning and say, Jesus. And when you were speaking a minute ago, what came to mind was, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be in our hearts. It needs to come out of our mouths, though.
Right.
We need to do that. My particular Baptist church, we do use a lot of scripture, and we use our individual people within our service to read that scripture, mm-hmm. and we will read what I will call the Hebrew text, and we will read something from the New Covenant, and lots of times, sort of, you know, maybe something from a gospel, but yes, we do use a lot of scripture, mm-hmm. but scripture is just rich and alive, and we need that in our hearts, and we need it in our mouths. So that's one thing that I appreciate from the Jewish standpoint, is that there is a lot of scripture in the service. Of course, a lot of it we don't always understand, right? Because it's Hebrew. But it's amazing to me that when I hear those Hebrew scriptures, sometimes in my heart, I know what I'm hearing without, you know, it's almost like the Holy Spirit bears witness in your heart and blesses you and speaks to that. And we can find so many instances in the Bible where people blessed, it came out of their mouth, they blessed God for what had been done to them or what had been done for them on their behalf. So many times I sit in a service and I hear things in the Jewish context that I want to stand up and say, it's been done for you already. You have so much to be joyful about. Wow. And then I sit in a Christian service sometimes, and we sit on our hands, and we don't necessarily take hold of what we claim is ours, but we don't live that out fully. Mm. We don't grasp it and take advantage of all the rich things that God wants to do in our lives with something so simple as the reading of His Word and it coming back out of our mouths. If it's in our mind, if it comes out of our mouth, it's in our heart, right?
Mm. One of the things I appreciate about you is that, I guess because of your long association with singing the Shabbat service, these things are readily available right on your lips, on the tip of your tongue, in your heart. And we were sitting around the table the other night, and you prayed a blessing over the cup, which would have been the same blessing that the Lord Jesus would have prayed over the cup at Passover. Just give that to us, would you? What is the blessing over the cup?
It is. They are that old. Like I told you, every blessing begins with Baruch Atarunai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Peri Hagafen. I just blessed your wine. Bless the fruit of the vine. Blessed are you, God of the universe, who brings forth wine from the earth.
And then there'll be a similar one for bread, yeah?
Baruch Atarunai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, God of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth.
You're listening to an interview with Lynn Bennett. She's a dear friend visiting to sing with us at Epiclesis for the first Sunday of Advent, and then our annual service of Advent Lessons and Carols happening on Sunday night, the 30th. When you hear this interview, alas, those services will already be over, but we would love for you to come and visit with us during the season of Advent at Epiclesis. You can learn more about Advent by popping over to the website. It's epiclesis.org, epiclesis.org. Lynn, we were speaking a few minutes ago about connections to Christ. And I would love for you to think about the Shabbat service and give us one or two or maybe three of your favorite connections that you see in the ancient Hebrew liturgy that points to the person and work of Jesus Christ and points to future things too, because He is going to come again. Thanks be to God.
Well, obviously we break bread and we drink wine, and that's not done in the whole congregation. Somebody is standing on the platform that does that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, those obviously have real connections to what we look at as the Lord's Supper.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an obvious one.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing every week is we light candles.
Mm-hmm.
That's what begins Shabbat. And that blessing talks about being light. Who's the light of the world?
Mm.
We are, but we have Jesus in us. He's the light.
Mm-hmm.
That connection is there too. Then there is a moment in the service where the Torah scroll has been out. It's been read. We put it back up. And we sing a little song that comes directly from Deuteronomy.
Oh, would you do it?
The point of it is, this is the word of the Lord given for you. And before I do this, I want to point out, the Torah was given for everyone right out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
It's not secret. It's not hidden. We do have to learn and search it out, but it's for everybody. And so when I sing these words, I think of those things too.
Mm.
This is Vezot HaTorah, and it's very simple. Vezot HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe Lifnei Bnei Yisrael Al Pi Adonai Be'ad Moshe. Vezot HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe Lifnei Bnei Yisrael Al Pi Adonai Be'ad Moshe. La 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 la. la 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 la.
It's beautiful. And you said you were thinking about how the Torah is given for everyone. Does the rabbi say, this is the Torah given for you?
Well, he doesn't exactly say that, but I've heard rabbis, my rabbi included, talk about the Torah was given out in the open for everyone.
Mm.
That the Torah is for everyone.
Wow.
God, his love, his word, his blood is for everyone.
Mm.
And so you ask me, what connections almost burn in my heart when I hear these things, when I sing things on Friday night,
mm-hmm.
to understand what that connection really is, foreshadowing.
Can you think of another one? And maybe sing again?
I mean, another connection?
Yeah.
Well, one wonderful thing is sometimes I think we get so bogged down in the form, in what we do, and this is church, and we ain't never done it around here that way before,
mm-hmm.
that we forget to take joy in our salvation. We forget to take joy in our Sabbath rest. So there's a high school that I go speak to every year. That door shuts, the bell rings, and the first thing I do is sing the Yismachu.
Yeah.
Yes is an imperative. It means to rejoice.
Mm.
So this is about rejoicing in the Sabbath day. Yismechu v'malechutecha, shomre 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 shabbat v'choye oneg shabbat. Yismechu v'malechutecha, shomre 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 shabbat v'choye oneg shabbat. It's just fun.
Well,
it rejoices.
Yeah, and it reminds me of Psalm 51, restore to me the joy of your salvation.
Yes.
Make me willing to obey you. Uphold me with a willing spirit, some translations say. Well, that's something, that's a wonderful connection. It reminds us that there is joy.
There is joy.
There is joy in Christ Jesus, and something that evangelicals could learn from and to restore in some ways to worship services, you think?
Yes, I think. Sometimes we need some joy to make it to our faces. We don't always show it.
Yeah, there's a disconnect for me sometimes in some evangelical worship, that there's a lot of activity happening, say, on the platform, and there is a lot of music, perhaps a lot of lights, a lot of activity, but that doesn't necessarily equate to full participation or joy among the congregants.
Yes.
How many times have you been to a service of any kind, and there's lots going on, say, on the platform or the worship band or whatever is really getting into it, but most people are kind of standing there passive, perhaps not singing. We've made the mistake of assuming that music is the only way to participate in worship, and we need to be reminded by our Jewish brothers and sisters that there is joy, and we're compelled to worship.
That's right. Participation is a big deal. I cannot worship for you. I cannot worship for the Jews that I sit before on Friday night. Used to, I guess decades and centuries ago, if you had singers in a service, we would have been upstairs where we didn't show, where nobody could have seen us.
Oh.
And those singers would have been doing all their parts, but they were upstairs, and it was some ethereal, where's that coming from sort of sound.
Mm-hmm.
There's a more modern idea to have us downstairs. And one of the things, the point of why I am there is I'm singing. The music is not difficult as a rule. The music is not set in ways that it has to have lots and lots of parts, but that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
We want to encourage participation. So that is what I do. So the music that we do on a regular Friday night is not, you know, heavy four-part anthem-y things.
Right. It's not presentation.
It's to get the congregation to sing, to get the congregation to participate.
Mm-hmm. In our remaining moments, Lynn, my mind and heart is on Advent right now because we're getting ready to turn the corner into a brand new Christian year. Christ the King Sunday is behind us. We're turning the corner into a new Christian year. And one thing that I have been encouraging evangelicals to do is to recover Advent. And one, at least, good reason to recover Advent is because it is a way to prepare for the coming of the Christ child, but not only prepare for the coming of Jesus as a baby, but Advent also has as much to do with the coming of Jesus again, the second time, as a conquering king. As you think about the services that you are exposed to in the synagogue, not only Shabbat services, but say also special high holy days or festivals around the year, are there some common themes that you see particularly with Advent? I'm thinking about watchfulness, preparation, waiting, expectation. Those themes are prevalent with Advent. Do you see those also in the course of the Jewish year?
The first preparation time that I can remember that I think about is before the high holidays, mm-hmm. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Mm-hmm. You see those on your calendar. The Feast of Trumpets, times of repentance, those seasons. Mm-hmm. There is a precursor to that that we call Slichot, where we get ready to repent. Oh. We get ready to get rid of the yucky in our lives, the inappropriate, we repent individually. Mm. Because you also, and this is very scriptural, repent corporately. Mm. Now, I know because of my background, my religious background, that is something that I can understand and easy for me to do. Mm-hmm. Do I take it a step further in my heart? I don't know. Mm. Is it something that they, just like all of us, it's an individual thing. Are they all doing that? I don't know. But I know that that's what the focus within the temple service is, within that season of time, to individually get by yourself and think about how you need to do better.
And that's a period of preparation.
It is a period of preparation.
You said preparing for repentance.
It's preparing for repentance.
And that comes before Rosh Hashanah.
Then we have Rosh Hashanah, and we rejoice in the new year. We eat apples dipped in honey. We think of happy, joyous, sweet times, mm-hmm. but then we use that next 10 days of awe, A-W-E, awe, mm-hmm. to really consider, where have I wronged somebody? Mm. Where do I need to make things right? And sometimes that will play out in a very personal way. If I've individually wronged someone, how can I make restitution? How can I make that better? And then we get to Yom Kippur, and that is a fast day. From the evening before, when it's dark and we have that Kol Nidre service that's so beautiful, mm-hmm. we have services all the next day. The Jews are not eating through that time. We fast through the day. We're repenting. We're physically, in some instances, beating our chest as a physical reminder of sorrow and repentance. We get to the end of that day and we break that fast together. And that's a joyous time. And then that takes us on into the Feast of Tabernacles, not long after that, mm-hmm. where we hang out in a sukkah that we built and have fruits and vegetables hanging from it, and we rejoice in God's blessing. God gives us, once again, He looks out for us. He gives us a time of respite and rest and joy after the heaviness of the high holidays. Mm.
I love to tell people that ancient future has a dash in between, and we're living in that dash right now. When I explain ancient future, I love to reach out my left hand and say ancient, and then reach out my right hand and say future. But in the meantime, we're walking out our baptisms, we're living in the here and now. And what a beautiful thing to see the connections that our ancient future God is making, at least for you, when it comes to these services of Shabbat and your own life as an evangelical. Wow. Lynn Bennett, I'm so grateful for you coming and visiting. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
And particularly this time of year, Advent, as we're beginning a new Christian year, and how many interesting parallels there are between the services in the Jewish synagogue and Advent. Watchfulness, waiting, preparation, getting ready. Jesus is coming. He came once before, Lynn, and He's coming again.
That's right.
Lynn, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Folks, you've been listening to an interview with Lynn Bennett. She's a very dear friend, a wonderful singer, musician. She's in town to sing some special services of Advent with Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. And she also sings each week in a Shabbat service in a Reform synagogue in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we've been talking about ancient future connections in Jewish worship. Until you join us next time for another edition of Ancient Future Christian Faith, I want you to be thinking about this, really ponder it. The road to our evangelical future really does run through our ancient Christian past. Until next time, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church. And they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience ancient future faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hey folks, Pastor Chris here with one more quick word. One of the most special parts of the whole Christian year is when the new year comes along at Advent, the time where we celebrate not only Christ's first coming as a baby, but when we also anticipate his second future coming as a conquering king. I'm hoping you'll join us for worship in Advent on Sunday mornings in December at 10:30, but also join us for a very special and unique service of carols, candlelight, and communion on Christmas Eve at 5 p.m. Find all the information on the web at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.